You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Work and income staff recently started requesting ID from their clients seeking access to benefits. It follows prosecution after a woman was murdered in Ashburton Wynn's office. Auckland Action Against Poverty spokesperson Vanessa Cole says they see this as further unnecessary punishment of beneficiaries. She spoke to 95BFM reporter Daniel Walker, who started by asking how exactly requesting ID is going to limit access to benefits.
When people go into work and income offices around Auckland, if they're asked for their ID, a lot of people actually don't have access to forms of identification for numerous amounts of reasons. A lot of the people that are coming in to see Auckland Action Against Poverty are people who are homeless, who are living in their cars, who don't have access to birth certificates to even get an alternative form of ID to carry around with them.
How hard is it to actually get an ID? Why is that such a big barrier?
Well, a lot of people are kind of isolated from the system because they've been pushed out for various different reasons. A lot of people, as you know, have been living in their cars and don't have access to a lot of documents because they've been carrying around their life with them. A lot of people just don't really have that necessary access, and if they forget it behind and they have to go to their appointment and they don't have their identification on them, then they'll be turned away, have to spend that money on gas, travelling to and from that work and income office again. And actually, when you do apply for a benefit, you do have an ID that gets scanned into the system, so work and income officers already have access to your form of ID.
So what would adding on this extra form of ID do? If they already have the identification or they create one themselves when you go to the office, why are they asking for another ID check on the door?
Really, this is used as a way of placing people in, kind of creating this fear around what's happened with the Ashburton case. And so work and income are going to be upping their security and making it really difficult for people to get access to their full entitlements.
Yeah, and I can understand that increasing that security there because of what happened at Ashburton. And so, you know, that is important that the security is increased to prevent something like that happening again. But I don't see how ID is going to stop that. How do you think their logic is working around that?
Well, really, we believe that the best way in order to protect the staff and protect the workers that work in work and income offices is to really change the toxic policies that work and income implement that deny people their entitlements. So people get frustrated when they go into work and income offices because they are humiliated and denied their basic entitlements. So if work and income really want to change and shift the culture around the officers and ensure the safety of the workers, then really it needs to be a systemic policy shift that does that.
Would you support it if they came up with some simpler way to come up with an ID? Right now you said some people don't have access to documents, or, you know, they have to spend time and money on petrol driving to and from and just that extra step. But if work and income itself made some kind of streamlined process to get an ID, would you support it?
Yeah, well, work and income has had a complete lack of planning around this policy shift. So often they'll make policy shifts, but they won't actually put the mechanisms in place to make the transition into that policy easy for the people that are accessing their services. And so it really, this kind of blocking of people getting access to work and income through making an extra barrier on top of the numerous amounts of barriers to be able to get your full entitlement from work and income is just a way of work and income limiting their access for people.
This ID check on the door thing, we've seen something kind of similar over in the US of proposing to bring in voter ID for people voting, and that gets shut down as a classist restriction on voting, just trying to get people without access to IDs to not be able to vote. Is this kind of a similar thing that's happening here?
Yeah, well, I definitely think that this is linked with that, and it's definitely a classist policy to place people in this situation where they have to spend extra money and time in order to be able to just access their basic entitlement. So work and income are increasingly making it more and more difficult for beneficiaries and unemployed people to get access to their services, whether it's through a policy of checking IDs or whether it's through sanctioning people on their benefits, whether it's through ensuring that people don't get what they're entitled to when they go in the first time, and the only way that they get their access is if they have some kind of form of advocacy with them.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.